welcome to the Questionnaires podcast, where each week we source the best questions from Yahoo Answers and attempt to provide the best advice from...
If Queen Elizabeth makes it to 100, who will write her letter?
To...
Can you rhyme in sign language?
We are here to prove that every question deserves an answer. Joined with me this week, as always, is Marcus.
Hello, Tom.
And Damien.
Hi, Tom.
Are you there? I feel like your mic was low as well at the start, so people are probably like, he's not there.
He's not there.
Sorry, I just blacked out for a second.
Damien's just like, am I?
Yeah, we've got to open a window in this room. We're going to suffocate. Now, I'm curious on your question, Damien.
Can you rhyme in sign language?
Yeah, do you reckon it'll just be like some sort of artwork? Like, it's just like...
Yeah, I mean...
Like, kung fu, maybe. Like, it's like a fighting technique.
It's like symmetrical and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm assuming to rhyme in sign language, the hand signals would have to look similar.
Yeah. Yep.
That would be my guess.
Yeah, true. But that's just like when you were to hear, like, music in another language.
Yeah.
They use... it obviously rhymes in their language.
Yes.
But when it's translated
back.
It's like, well, that doesn't really rhyme or make sense.
A big thing with the Beatles was, like... Back in the day.
You remember?
I was back
in Damien's then. Now that he's old.
Now that you're old.
It was me and Queen Elizabeth just rocking out to the Beatles back in the 60s.
Yeah.
But they would, in order to like be more like universal, they would re-record their songs in different languages.
Really?
So I'd be like, how would that translate? Like, I remember, like, She Loves You in German and is She Lieb Dick. I remember that, right?
Yeah,
that translates all right.
Yeah.
So I was like, I wonder how the rest of the rhyming scheme works. I guess they just tweak it a bit. I don't really know.
Yeah.
But.
I would imagine it looks like, you know how you watch like Dragon Ball Z and they do all their hand motions to do like a laser beam?
Yeah.
That's just how sign language
everyone
poetry
going super
is.
Sane, right? That's like, I love when you see like a rap concert. Sometimes they have the interpreter there and they're like, they're signing and they're sort of like bouncing along to
it
too.
They get into it.
They get well into it.
Good on them. Like, if you're going to go to a rap concert, you definitely want to, like, enjoy it.
Well, with a lot of the press conferences that were happening with all of the coronavirus updates and stuff like that, they always had, like, the sign person there as well. So I feel like in the last couple of months, I've witnessed a lot of sign language or interpreters there.
Yeah.
And, dude, it would be it's an exhausting thing, I reckon, to be able to keep up. But they tag out.
They tag out. Yeah. Like, it was like, all right, I'm only sign languaging for the PM. You can do the premiere.
And then they're, like, downing some water in their icing their elbows.
Yeah.
The hands are, like, next to like an air fan as well to cool them down.
It's like when you're done bowling and you use the little air thing to sort of get the sweat off your hands.
I have two stories related to this quickly.
Yeah.
There's one about an African translator. Right. I'm going to put a pin there for now. Just in regards to that thing of it being like a tough job.
Yeah.
Doing sign language. Have I told you guys I tried to go for a job being like a closed captioner?
I remember
that. And that's just typing and trying to keep up with it. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I thought I was a fast typer.
Yeah.
No, you make one mistake and you were trying to catch up to what Grant Daniel's saying. It's all over. Like, you know, it is.
What does the survey say?
It was bad. Like, I could not catch up. I was like, okay, this job is not for me.
So when you watch like closed caption and they get the wrong words there, you think to yourself, ah, how'd they get it wrong? It's like, well, you can empathize.
Like, idiot.
I before E except after C.
Yeah, you feel bad for
it. I sympathize. But the other story that you guys just reminded me of, did you guys ever see that story? It came out a couple of years ago. I can't remember what country. Maybe it was like Nigeria or something. Basically, a politician was doing this big speech and the guy who was doing sign language for them didn't actually know sign language.
Yeah,
he lied about it and just made it all up.
He faked it on his resume.
He looked confident.
Yeah, he's like, blah, 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 blah.
And then
it came
out later. Everyone's like, he's just talking gibberish.
Yeah,
he managed to get like two words. He made up two words, but that was just
crazy. Hopefully it wasn't
crazy.
Something really important that we're trying to say.
I just don't know how you get to that point. Like, at what point do you...
You can fake your resume, but how do you fake it that much? Be like, yeah, I know sign language and not... And they go, oh, yeah, well, we believe him.
Maybe it's just a mate. He's like, do you know how to like do sign language? Yeah. He's like, I know this one, like the roof
finger. He flips
finger.
Him off. He's like, all right,
off.
You're qualified.
Yeah, you're qualified. All right.
He's just like, no one's going to be watching
me
anyway. I don't think many deaf people watch.
Yeah.
It's like, turns out they do.
Turns out the whole world was watching.
Yeah, right.
Unlike our podcast where...
That's what we're missing. The untapped hearing impaired people can't actually enjoy our podcast. Maybe we need to have like a... Is it called ASL? Age, sex, location?
Auslan, yes.
Age, sex, location, that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, well, let's provide some entertainment for people that can listen in the form of answering questions from the website Yahoo Answers. It's what the show is all about. It's what we do each and every week. We find questions, we try to provide advice to these people and help them on their way. That's how the show works. The other thing we do is we choose a theme for each week to name the question askers. And it's my theme this week, and I believe we might have done this before, but I feel like it's good to rehash it, bring it back.
Yeah.
I want you to name the question askers after a show that maybe is a TV show that's current or something recently that you just can't get into. So maybe a show that is current at the moment that people are into that you just do not vibe with, or you've tried it and you're like, not for me.
Okay.
Yep. I'm going to go first, though, with this one.
All right. Get us started.
I feel like this one's super popular. This is going to come from Bridgerton.
Ah, yes. I've heard it's softcore porn.
Yeah, apparently so. Yeah, but from what I've seen, it seems like it's like Gossip Girl, but in like the
medieval times.
Medieval, like Renaissance times.
Oh,
it's like,
instead
of like Gossip Girl, XOXO, it's like Lady Featherhorn writing her gossip rag. And I'm like, this is silly, guys. This is silly. I watched two episodes.
Poppycock Woman, XOXO.
And they're already like, oh my. Oh, gossip. Anyway, so. Yeah, not into it.
It's gossip, sire.
Okay, so this is going to come from Bridgerton. Now, Bridgerton writes in, is it weird to feel embarrassed when my boyfriend plays his music loudly when driving through downtown with the windows down? I'm a little older than him. He's 29 and I'm 34, but I notice a lot of difference in our maturity levels. He's white and he's from a small town and he blares his rap music, reggae music, and house music from his car. I don't mind the reggae and house music, but it's a bit much when he starts playing it so loudly that elderly people and people outside trying to enjoy a walk stop and stare. He has all the windows down and there will be people walking by and cars stopped at red lights and I just feel embarrassed. I'd prefer he at least keep the windows up if he's going to blare his music. Bridgerton.
Ooh. Okay. Here's a question for you guys. When you're at home playing music, are you conscious of the volume levels for your neighbors? Like, what is your etiquette?
No, I'm not really. Like, I mean, I don't blare the music so much because I get to a point where I'm like, why is it so fucking loud? I can't concentrate. Yeah. So I don't really like blare the music.
I guess you have a kid now as well.
Yeah,
so,
maybe if you're like cleaning and stuff like that, you've got to go over the sound of the vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
That's maybe a time when I would. But overall, I would put it at an enjoyable level for myself.
Yep.
So in answer to your question, I don't really think about anyone else when it comes to the music level. I think about myself.
You think about numero uno.
I like it soft. I like it to be ambient, if anything.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. How about you guys?
The only reason I thought about it is because we bought a Google Nest for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yep.
And I have conflicted feelings about it. We've spoken about it before, the whole thing of having your house... You know, a microphone.
Yeah.
The FBI is just like...
There's a switcher.
The Australian version of it. They love these things now because they're just like, we can hear everybody.
We know everything.
Damien's
like, I want to be... The only nest I want is the crow's nest.
Yeah. That's right.
I want to be friends with the crows and I want to be friends with the Google.
That's right. Yeah. 100%. But look, anyway, there's a switch on the back of it. It says it turns the microphone and camera off.
Yeah.
Whether or not I believe it. Let's not get into it,
all
right?
That's the point.
But that's when they listen harder. Right? Like, what's he hiding?
He's
amplifies everything. It turns night vision on and super ultra HD.
Oh, no.
They see everything, Damien.
Yes. Damn it. Yep. I usually walk, it's in the kitchen, so that's disappointing enough because I usually walk into the kitchen naked and I reveal my deepest, darkest secrets.
To the toaster. You won't tell my secrets, will you, toaster?
The toaster in the oven, they all know about it. It's like his AA sort of meeting. So he just sits down and tells all these problems
with
the kitchen appliances.
All those white goods know my dirty little secrets.
And the FBI.
White goods lies.
Yes, that's right. Little white goods lies. Anyway, but it was just funny because me and my girlfriend were cleaning the house today and she was like, hey, Google, can you turn the volume up to 6, right? Which is like a decent volume, but it thought my girlfriend said turn the volume up 6. So it went from like 4 to 10, which is like Taylor Swift fucking going so hard. It was so loud. Like I had to fight back like shock, like audio waves just to get to it and turn it
down. Google, turn it down. Google's like, I can't hear you.
It's funny. Because that's what happened. I was at Damien's house one day and he's like, oh, turn it up. So it turns it up. It's like, oh, it's too loud. Turn it down. It couldn't hear him. It could not understand
Google Damien. Google, you're my slave. And it's like, what happens when Google refuses?
That's right. But that is something I'm conscious of. When like, am I annoying the neighbors right now by having music too loud? And
no, fair enough.
Yeah.
I don't think about it too often unless like I'm listening to something and I hear, oh, there's a lot of swears in this one.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, what if someone's hearing that? If it's like a non-swearing song, a non-offensive song, I don't care.
That's kind of considerate of you.
But if I hear like, I'm like, people don't probably, like, I know there's a baby next door.
Yeah.
Granted, they're a young baby. They probably won't understand the words. But,
right.
And then there's an elderly couple next door as well. I'm like, they don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah, sure.
like if I've got good music playing, then whatever.
They're like, turn it up. Your neighbors go, hey, Google, turn it up to 10. Yeah. And they turn it up for you.
Yeah.
What about in the car, though?
I was going
to
say, yeah.
Because that's when I feel like you hear people music, especially stopped at the lights and stuff like that. Sometimes I'm a bit conscious of like what I'm listening to and I'm stopped at the lights and I'm like, oh, I don't want people to like sort of, I don't want people to like know what I'm listening to. It's mostly a guilty pleasure. You
mostly
know?
With podcasts. I'm sitting down and I remember I was driving one day and some guy next to me like got my attention.
Yeah.
Got me to roll down my window. He goes, hey, you're listening to this podcast.
Is like, that the questionnaires?
Oh, yes, it is, sir. Yes,
I'm actually one of them.
Yeah, right.
Oh, good, because I fucking hate your show.
Yeah. He stabs your tire.
That's how it went down, guys. How did you?
Picks up his phone and he shows Marcus he's leaving a 1-star review on the podcast.
How does that make you feel?
I was like, I was like, as he drove up, I'm like, turned it down. Yeah, like, I don't want people to hear what I'm listening to.
It felt a bit invasive.
Yeah, just a little bit.
When you guys were younger, this is purely based off when I used to ride with my brothers. When they were like teenagers, and they used to take me with them. They would blare their music,
right,
to the point where you couldn't even have a conversation in the car.
Yeah,
which seems counterproductive.
Yeah.
Were you guys like that when you were in your teens, early 20s? Were you blaring music so loud?
I mean, maybe in the novelty of like being in your car for the first time, you're like, I can listen to whatever I want, but
as loud as I want.
When people are in the car, I wouldn't really do that. I would never have my music that loud that it's like no time for conversation.
Yeah, nah.
We're just listening to one thing and one thing only.
Yeah,
and that's
the sweet dulcet sounds of
tones of Yellow Car. I hear that violin. It's a rock band with a violin, guys. How amazing.
I wonder. Check this out, guys. Check this out. Right. Tom's just like, the violin, it's more than a novelty, all right?
Okay, imagine Blink-182 with Andre Rieu. That's what it is.
That's actually my favorite poem. Yeah. Imagine Blink-182
with Andre Rieu.
That was beautiful, Tom.
Thank you.
But I think the reason my brothers probably did it a lot back then is I feel like it was around the Fast and Furious, Need for Speed, Hot Pursuit, wave.
Yep. Yeah.
So I remember like they, some reason the middle back seat was always reserved for a subwoofer.
Yeah.
Oh, so if I used to go with them, I basically had to like lie on a subwoofer and just get punched in the back by doof music the whole time.
In their eyes, there's like, well, we used to bully him as a kid. Now we can't bully him because we're driving.
Yeah.
But we'll put him there and they can punch, the subwoofer can punch him for us.
Having a bad time back there, Damien? Good.
Yeah, I was just getting bullied by Scooter. Just punched in the back. Scooter! It's horrible.
Thumping. But okay, when you hear other people like you driving around, I don't think it's really that much of an issue. I'm not bothered by people's loud music and I'm not judgmental. So that's how I have to think of it too. When if someone's going to have a hard time with me, I don't have a hard time with them. So
I don't have a hard time unless it's extremely obnoxiously loud.
Okay,
I'm not that I would say anything, but I will look at them and I'm like, oh man, that music's terrible.
Yeah, you'll judge.
But I will judge the music. Okay. If I can make out what the music is, I will judge your music. If I can just hear it muffled, it's okay.
Yeah, fair enough.
I feel like it's
okay. Well, this person here then, what do you think that they should do? She wants to tell her boyfriend to stop. Maybe it's one of those things like when you're in the car with me, do you mind turning it down a little bit?
Yeah.
It sounds like she's the one that has the problem with it. He's just doing his thing.
He's living his life. He's living his real life.
She said he's listening to rap music and he's a white guy, right? That's what she was saying. As long as he's not like saying the N-word and stuff openly while the song's on, I don't think there's much of a problem.
No one should be offended by any of his actions.
Yeah. I think you could say something along the lines or whatever. But one thing she can do, if she wants to be passive aggressive, is always have a conversations in mind that you want to talk to him about. So you turn down the music, especially when you're stopped, to have that conversation with him. And then eventually he'll just leave it turned down because, like, you know, after you have a conversation, sometimes you don't remember to turn the music back up.
Am I crazy? She said that he's a bit immature, right?
She's
saying he's immature.
Different maturity level.
Is she not being immature in a way by caring so much that people are hearing the other music?
Very true. As a 34-year-old to a 29-year-old, she's just like, he's immature because he plays his music loud. It's like, well, are you being a little bit too judgmental or too concerned of what other people think?
Exactly.
That's sort of an immature thing in a way. You should be able to just do what you want and be like, cool. I want to listen to One Direction as loud as I can. Who the fuck cares?
Have you guys ever seen an elderly couple or an older sort of person with music blaring or like something like it's always the young people that do it.
If they did does this count? Okay.
Yeah.
So my non-Nora, I've spoken about him before. Was he 94? He's 94 soon, actually.
Yeah.
There have been times where, like, because he lives close to me, I walk to his house and let's say he's watching an action movie. It sounds like there's a shootout going on.
Right.
But it's just because he's so deaf, his TV is turned up to like 100, right?
Right.
So he has to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. But you can hear it from down the street. Like, it's really bad.
Yeah.
Because we bought him a new TV recently as well.
Right.
Anyway.
He blew the speakers on the first one. Yeah. He had to get a new one.
And he's got a hearing aid, refuses to wear it. Anyway.
When Damien goes up, he has to sit on the sub as well. Yeah. That's how it works.
Damien, that's your chair. Yeah, that's it.
But like, I think if there was an old, what I'm trying to say is if an older person was had it that loud, I doubt it's because they're trying to
impression other people.
It's probably because they can't hear anything.
Yeah.
There was one time I think my cousin was staying with my nana and she'd borrowed my nana's car and she had the music turned up the last time she had used it. My nana doesn't drive with music on at all, I don't think. But then my nana went to go drive her car and didn't know how to turn it down.
Oh no.
I think she was coming over to our place or something like that. But I remember my dad or my mum telling me that story. I didn't hear it or anything, but I just pictured my nana driving down the road with like music blaring and people like look and be like, what's this lady listening to? And it's just like, oomph, oomph, oomph.
Imagine you're also your grandma stuck in the car and just hearing like, and you're here with Fitzy and Whipper. Yeah, right. She's like,
not Fitzy, these weird men out of my car.
This is my glory years. Why do I have to be subjected to Fitzy and Whipper? I have no problem with Fitzy and Whipper.
Why Fitzy and Whipper, guys? Yeah,
we don't need to start beef with an Australian radio host.
Especially some that are way more reputable than our repertoire, I guess.
Yeah.
So what do we say for Bridgerton? Say, talk to him about it or just maybe let him be?
It's a non-issue, but I think so. Like Marcus said, when we're in the car together, maybe just turn it down a little bit so we can have a conversation together. It. Enjoy each other's company.
I'm with you on that. Okay, let's leave it there for Bridgerton. All right. Marcus, you want to go next?
I do want to go next. And I've got one in mind. I just want to double check that. Fuck it. I got it in mind. All right. I am going to go with...
Put the phone down.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
No, because I was going to look through Netflix to see if I could find the name of another one.
You basically the equivalent of like, I've got a speech, but I ripped it up.
I just ripped it up. Nah, Queen's Gambit.
He's gone. Oh, okay. Book. Interesting.
Now, the reason why I say Queen's Gambit, I watched like most of the episodes in it.
Sure.
But by about midway through, I started realizing I was on my phone a lot more.
Right.
And I just cared less and less about it.
I'm right there with you.
I don't know what it was.
It's interesting. I watched it all in a day. I don't know how I did it.
Really?
Maybe that's why, because I was only watching it one episode at a time because my partner, when we're watching things, one episode's enough, otherwise she'll fall asleep in the second one, then we have to watch it again.
Then you're watching Queen's Gambit like twice.
Yeah, exactly.
16 hours into that.
That's painful.
So you enjoyed it, Tom?
I mean, I think I did. I think I was saying, there was lots of chess. There was a lot of chess.
I like chess, but then I was just like, how do you make that action?
I don't know how to play chess. So I watched it hoping to pick up a few things. Yeah. I picked up that I'm probably not cut out for chess.
Well, what you need to do, well, if anything, the show teaches you that if you want to be good at chess, you have to develop a crippling drug addiction.
And I need to be into chess from like my orphan days.
Yeah, that's right.
A janitor needs to teach me. I'm like, so I'm far over that.
Call your parents now, get them to disown you.
We'll chuck
you in an orphanage, Tom. We'll see you in 30 years' time. You should be a prodigy by then.
Scruffy the janitor can teach me.
It was funny because I was watching it and then the drug addiction's probably what keeps a lot of people into it.
Right.
But I didn't care about the drug addiction. Yeah. I've seen many shows on drug addiction. I don't care. Yeah. I was more interested in the chess.
There was one point where she sort of goes off the rails again. She goes from Beth Harmon into Meth Harmon.
She really went down.
Is there a scene, Marcus? Because I didn't finish it.
Yeah.
I was same thing I watched with my girlfriend two episodes in. Yeah. Actually, I verbally said to my girlfriend, I'm out. I'm done. I got off the couch and walked away. Just didn't do it for me. Is there a point where she like goes, puts the pills down? And then, like, picks up a chess pawn. It's like, this is the only drug I need.
Yeah. I didn't like that. You asked Tom that one. David, I would love to tell you, but sorry, I didn't
Tom, does that happen?
No, it doesn't happen.
No, she always loves the drug.
She goes, the chess pieces.
It's time for the Queen's Gambit. And then I'm like, that's the title show.
Did she actually say that?
No, the Queen's Gambit is an actual move.
Exactly. Yeah,
I know that. I learned that. I know a little bit about chess because I watched the Queen's Gambit, but that is the extent. But
that's
either way.
That's as far as you go.
It's time for the Queen's Gambit. And then she...
Where will it go? Only I will know.
I don't know how I feel about me. That joke I just made.
We'll edit it in post.
Maybe you can beep that one out, okay. Tom.
We'll see. The Queen's Gambit writes in. Did I handle this flaky friend the best way? I went on a trip with three friends over the long weekend. One of my friends, we'll call him John, flaked out on the departure time and want to get input as to how I handled it. Our plan was to be on the highway at 9 a.m. at the latest, ideally 8:30, and everyone except John stayed the night before at my place. John said he couldn't, but promised he would be at my place. I told him to leave his place by 7 to allow traffic. I made this very clear because John has a habit of being flaky, and while I wanted him to come, I did not want us to fall victim to his flakiness.
I'm getting hungry for fish and chips right now, guys.
Okay, I want a flake.
Yeah. On Thursday night, he said he may be late. I told him, I'll guarantee you that we will wait for you until 8 a.m. But after that, we will leave as soon as we are ready, with or without you. If you arrive later, you'll have to drive separate. John tried to persuade me into waiting, but I refused. Apparently, he was planning to work in the car, so he can't drive separate unless someone waits for him and drives. None of us wanted to do that. We did not take the day off so that we can spend half of it waiting for him. Yep. John didn't come till Saturday night as he was pissed at me for leaving without him. I told him that this was all on him. He agreed to arrive early Friday and didn't come. What did I do the right thing? Queen's Gambit.
Oh, that's quite a story. That is quite a story. I mean, you've heard of Dirty John, the Netflix series with Eric Banner. This is Tardy John. Also starring Eric Banner as well. I think
Eric Banner, his John is the name of the character. Yeah. He's like, it's mine.
His ears perk up. I mean, look, Eric Banner's a local boy. He's from our area. He grew up in our area. So I got nothing but the utmost respect for the band. That's
it. Love me some Eric Banner.
For sure.
The banana man
himself.
Yeah.
So this person, John, is he's known to be flaky. He's known to be late. You would always just, I would say, if you have a friend that's like this, you would almost be like, we have to prepare to maybe ditch John.
Yeah.
Or allow for that sort of time. You just be like, well, look, this is the plan. John's coming along, so maybe we shouldn't make it early.
Yeah.
If John's really an important part of your life. Otherwise, I think it's one of those things to be like, sorry, John, find your own way. You should just be like, predict that he's going to be late.
That's how he is. That's how it went, it seems. But then, and then they said, fuck you, John, we're out.
I think that's the right thing to do, to be like, sorry, John, but like, you were known for this. You are Tardy John.
I'm not going to wait for you. That's it. Damon, how do you feel about this? Like, do you have a friend?
Flaky friends?
Flaky.
You might cut that as well. That's just as embarrassing as that joke I made.
I'll bleep before.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
You'll never know how bad it was, guys.
Yeah, appreciate that, Tom. Look, I am a reformed flaky friend.
Ah.
So back in the day when I was a teenager with a little bit of gold on a pager, I was really bad at that stuff.
Like, you always came late?
To the point where I'm ashamed. Like, there was times where I had to meet up with a friend at like 12 o'clock and I'd wake up at 11:30.
What the fuck, Damien?
I know. Like I said, I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, Did you put your alarm at 11:30 saying, yeah, that's about right?
No, it's just like, I don't know, when you're a teenager, you can sleep for days if you really wanted to.
You put your priority on sleep rather than being on time.
And in hindsight, big shitty friend move. Like, I'd message my friend, be like, hey, I'm running late. And it's because I wouldn't tell him, like, it's just because I woke up minute ago.
You never gave him the real reason. Yeah. You were like, this reason came up.
Just like no priority for time. Yeah. And I think when it comes to friends as well, I think it's a little bit disrespectful.
Yeah.
Especially when everyone makes the effort to be there on time. Like, it's a big slap in the face. If you're setting everybody else back when they're...
Mm.
So I'm glad I got out of that because...
It sort of just says you're not as important as what I have to do.
Exactly.
And it's not even that you had a good reason. If you, for instance, was just sleeping, you weren't like, hey, guys, I've got work and I don't know when I'm going to be able to get out. It might be traffic. If you have reasons,
100%.
That's okay.
But that's cool.
Time after time, and it's showing that you're sort of, I value my time to do my own thing.
I value my sleep. I value this. I value that. If you're known to be tardy.
Yeah.
Then expect people to start things without you, leave without you, and that's just how it is. It's not them being bad. It's just them being...
Yeah, it is difficult, especially if you're planning. This is for a weekend away, was it?
Weekend away,
So, like, I mean, everyone's got, and there's an itinerary involved. It's not just like you're meeting people up at a bar and everyone's going to go do something, and they're going to have a good time without you. They're relying on you to be there to be able to start the weekend. And, like, I think that's kind of a bit unfair.
How do you feel about his excuse about, like, I was planning on working in the car while driving up there? So you have to wait for me.
Like, well, then why can't you get in the get earlier and then work more? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, then get in the car and work. Like, what's his reason for being late?
There was no reason, apparently. He's just like, I will
be late. And then when I get there, I want some absolute silence because I've got some books to balance.
He's like, I don't get the name Tardy John for being on time.
Yeah,
right.
So you became friends with Tardy John, knowing the fact that I was tardy.
The name Tardy John, I'm coming late, guys.
So what you're saying, it's on them.
Yeah.
It's like if people were to get angry at the angry dwarf, who's like, well, it's in my name.
Yeah,
like,
what else do you expect?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I can't be Happy Dwarf. That's not my name.
Wait, is he called Angry Dwarf? What's he? Is he Grumpy? What is he called?
I think it's Dumbledore, isn't it? okay, so what would you do if you had a friend that was like this? That you, if you had, let's just say if it was a close friend and it was a... let's just say it was me. It was a once-off time, right?
Yeah. Once-off time would only be once-off. But let's just say, all right.
I've got a story that applies to what I think Tom's saying.
Ooh. Yeah.
We were going to... I hope my friend doesn't mind me telling this story.
I'm going to believe it again.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. every speech that Damien gives this episode is going
to
be bleeped.
This episode is actually brought to you by the bleep.
And this is actually a 10-minute story, so it's just going to be 10 minutes of just beeping out. So anyway, we were going to go see, I think it was Bon Iver in Sydney.
Yeah.
And, well, we had bought tickets to fly there, and then one of our friends just wasn't there. He just didn't make it in time.
At the airport?
To the airport. Oh, so we were like, well,
We're getting on this flight.
Yeah. We're not just going to wait for him because, you know, the plane's not going to wait for us.
Yeah, right.
And we left and we like had the message like, sorry, dude, we're already on our way there. Yeah.
We're in the air to see Bon Iver. Exactly.
Right. Tom's a poet this episode.
I'm hitting it.
Yeah. So, but like, and it felt bad. I was like, well, what can you do in that situation? Yeah. You're like, and I felt bad for him because he ended up having to like pay like a shit ton of money to buy another ticket. He ended up coming and meeting us there anyway.
Right, right.
But I feel like that was like a lesson to be like, you know.
Is he the type of person that like would be like, don't worry, money solves problems. I can just throw more money.
No, definitely not.
Did it actually like, I have to buy the.
See, I felt bad for him because like me, reformed person who would be late to things.
Yep.
And doesn't do that anymore. He's really good with that stuff.
Sure.
So it was just a momentary lapse. We all have those moments.
Okay.
Look, everybody lapses in things. Yep. Damien lapses in being late sometimes.
I'm late to the podcast sometimes. It happens.
Yeah. It happens.
But like, so I felt really bad for him in that situation. But that was like an extreme consequence for
being a bit late. It seems like the opposite of how people treat going to the airport. Usually people are like, okay, I got a flight at 5 o'clock. I'm going to go there at 8 a.m. just to make sure. Just make sure I'm not late.
I'm like that. I'm like, well, I'd rather be at the airport. If I'm just sitting there for an hour, I'm sitting where I need to be for an hour.
Maybe that's the way to be, like what Tom was saying. Well, like with an airport, it's like do or die. You're either there or you don't get to go.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they almost need to give him like the ultimatum of like, we're leaving at this time.
That's
if
true.
You are not here.
You're driving yourself.
We're gone, John.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's
Hey, John, you're going to be on time, John, this time.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I think that's a fair enough thing to say. The ultimatum be like, it's happening with you, with or without you, John. You're going to have to find your own way there.
We can leave.
Sorry. I think with friends, late friends, it depends on the event that's going on. This is obviously, we're leaving at this time for you there, we're off. I think you did the right thing.
Yeah.
I think at parties, it's just like maybe, well, they're always an hour or two late. Let's say to them, the party starts an hour earlier and see if they come around the time or whatever it might be.
Mm.
I think it always depends on the moment, but for vacations, though, there's a time.
I'm with you on that. I think the vacation thing is a big kicker as well. It's not just a casual event. It seems like an actual, you know,
planned
thing. So they got to sort John out.
I think so.
All right. Well, let's leave that there for. I was going to call him John.
Dirty John. I didn't watch that show either, but no, please
don't watch it.
Nah.
Yeah. Dirty John is trash.
Pretty bad.
Me and my girlfriend watched it because we were like recommended to.
Yeah.
And oh my God.
Yeah.
It is an insult to Eric Bernard's catalog. Yeah, right. Like, do not. Right. He must have lost a bet or something. He shouldn't have been in it.
It's true. Yeah. He fall from grace compared to Troy, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Now it's Damien's time for his question, but I think you got something different.
I don't have a normal type of question. I actually have a segment.
Great.
But I'll pick a show.
Okay.
Tell me if this counts.
Hmm.
I do feel like there's been a resurgence in interest in the US Office.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Just got back onto the on Netflix now, I think.
So I think there's kind of like a renewed interest in it at the moment.
Right.
So I started rewatching it. So I was like, oh, I really like that show. And I actually tapped out maybe about halfway through season 4.
Okay, yep.
I love Michael Scott.
Yep.
Love Dwight Schrute.
Yep.
Jim and Pam.
Oh.
I cannot stand
them. They became the unbearable ones at the second viewing.
Yeah, I don't know. Like maybe like halfway like through.
I would have thought they were the sweeter. Like they're the ones that you watch and be like, oh, these guys just trying to deal with like living or working in this environment.
Yeah.
They kind of are, but like, I don't know. As it goes on, they become so smug and like, I don't know if it's an intentional thing by the writers that are kind of like.
They become elitists.
They feel like, a bit above everyone
they're
in the
better
office.
Than everyone. Yeah,
and like, it's like, motherfuckers, you work in the same office as everybody else. True. What are you being smug about?
Right.
And the lens that they go to, basically mess with Droid.
Yeah, yeah.
Droid.
Bleep, flop.
Mess with Dwight. It's like, in your spare time, you are learning Morse code to mess with somebody. Like, they start to, like, edge on to, like, psychopath territory.
They totally are.
And I know it's for comedy's sake, but I don't know. For a show that's grounded in reality, I do feel like it makes the reality unravel a little
bit. That's true. That's a very good point. I remember there's one episode where they, like, fake the Matrix to trick Dwight to thinking he's in the Matrix and stuff like that because he loves the Matrix. And they expected him to go this way and, like, take the red pill and whatever. And he ends up, whatever, what's the blue pill, red pill? It's like one goes into the Matrix, one is stay here. here.
Yeah.
And he decides, like, I want to stay in this world. And they're just like, oh, man, I paid so much money and had all these actors and all these, like, Jim and Pam were really upset that he didn't go along with it. It's like, what's what you get for trying to fuck with him, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I still love the show.
Yep.
Still have some reverence for it.
Okay.
But now in my rewatching, Dwight is the hero to me.
All right.
Forget about Jim Jam. There you go. Don't care about them.
It's Dwight.
Let me get some Dwight and Michael action.
All right, cool. All right. So that's your show. What's your segment?
So this was a segment, actually. We did it at the start of last year.
Right.
It's called Airtasker. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys remember it.
Yep.
But I think we had, I can quote Tom because I re-listened to the segment because I forgot how the segment went.
Yeah, that's
so
okay.
This is a direct quote from Tom. He said, that was fun. So,
it came from the horse's mouth now.
That's right.
Big shoes to fill. Yeah. I hope it's fun.
I hope it's fun.
Hopefully we can live up to those expectations of past Tom.
We'll see.
So let's get into Airtasker.
It's time to Airtask. Task complete.
For the people who listen to the show, you know, we give out a wealth of advice for free. We don't charge anything for it. We fix weird problems on the weekly. There's some people on Airtasker who fix weird problems, but they get paid for it. So our business models are back to front.
We really should pivot.
We should pivot
to Airtasker. Hey,
that's why we did that brand deal.
Right, that's true. That's true. We're pivoting, guys.
Yeah, pivot.
So basically what I've done is I've grabbed the most Yahoo answer-esque jobs off Airtasker that people have actually been paid to complete. And from there, we can discuss how we'd solve the problem, any stories that may bring to mind, and lastly, how much money you'd want to be paid to do the job.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's what we did last time, and I kind of made you guys compete in regards to who got the job.
That's true.
All right. So here's the first job, titled Security Guard for a Friend.
Okay.
My friend is in no danger, nor does he need security. It's part of a prank battle. Your responsibilities will include following my friend everywhere he goes during the day for 4 hours. You wait outside of meeting rooms, outside of toilet cubicles, follow him to lunch, etc. If you break character, you will not receive the money.
Ooh, how much would I charge?
How much would you charge?
All right.
And would you be willing to do that?
Look, as someone who plays a lot of video games, this is basically an escort mission, but one of those missions where you have to keep a little bit of a distance.
Yeah.
They're generally the worst missions in video games.
Like they are the worst missions.
Like a tailing mission,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So they are generally like, you get to those missions, you're like, oh man, I want to go in, if it's GTA, you're like, I want the mission where I'm in the helicopter shooting rockets, right?
Yeah.
Now I've got to like, you know, pretend to like not follow someone.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a bit of an arduous task. It's a bit of a chore. I'd offer $50 an hour. So I'd say
$200.
$200. $200 to follow for a day.
I would go with lower than that.
Okay, of course. Well, then if I go first, you're going to get the job if
no,
you're lower.
No, but then this is the problem we go into last time because you guys are actually the ones who gamified the segment last time.
That's true.
And then it turned into price.
That's true.
It turned into price is right. But Marcus
did
one
I win? Time. Is that why I said it was fun?
Because I gave
No, Tommy, if anyone won, no. That's what you posted the game.
But the problem was like when Tom said 150, Marcus was like, 149. And I was like, no, it's not
get
how
out of
it
here.
Works.
Larry Emden would not be
so
happy
maybe
with that.
You should
sort
just
of
pay whoever's amount is closest to the actual amount that was paid.
Yeah.
But let's not keep score because I can't be bothered doing
that. Sure. No scoring. But no, I would go less than that. I'd go like a minimum wage, which I found out recently was $25 Australian per hour. And the reason why I'd go with that is you're just acting for a little bit. You can put like a little bit of a headphone in. You can listen to music. All you got to do is just stand a little bit back and talk into your collar a little bit. That's it.
Oh, make him a bit paranoid?
Yeah.
Oh, so like, do you want to make him paranoid?
Targets moving.
Would you not have a fear of like police being called on you or something if you're tailing a guy for 4 hours?
But
I think the idea is he has to know he's being tailed.
Yeah, he has to. He has to know.
Why? Because like it defeats the whole purpose. He was like, hey, Marcus, guess what? I had a guy tail you for 4 hours.
He had no idea.
And he had no idea. It's like, well, what was the prank?
Yeah. But that's
the prank's on you because you paid money for that to happen.
I'd stick with my 50 because if I'm getting into the role, I'm getting maybe like a suit and some glasses.
True. All right.
Like I'm actually going to a bit of effort.
Yeah.
All right. I'll bump mine up to, well, it's 4 hours. Yeah. All right. That's fuck it. $100.
$100?
Yeah.
Alrighty, so Marcus is closest. Right. The person did it for $120.
There you go.
And they left a great review. Your friend chased me down the street. I cried from laughing so hard.
Very good.
Five stars.
Very good. Nice one.
So I guess we didn't think of that as well. You could also be chased by the person you're tailing.
I want the newspaper with holes in it. So I, you know what I mean? I want it to be very obvious though. Like it's like the Age newspaper, but big cutouts.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a big newspaper.
When they used to do the broadsheet ones, the big ones.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore, do they?
I don't think so, no.
You can basically hide your whole body behind
it. And then have a sleep later on.
Those newspapers are so ridiculous.
Too big.
Too big.
Too big.
Too big, Molly.
Alrighty, next one. Sing Love Is in the Air by John Paul Young to my mum. It's my mum's favourite song and it's Valentine's Day. If you can pick a couple of flowers from the garden and give them to her, that would be good too. The full song, please.
Mm-hmm. I would get this job hands down because I actually have a video of when I was probably 7 years old and went to Science Works and blue screen was like a big thing there and pretending to play like guitar with my brother while Love is in the Air was playing and there's psychedelic backgrounds.
Dude, I did the same thing.
Oh my God, there we go. There we go.
Yes, except we sung Take the Pressure Down by John Farnham.
All right.
Take the pressure down.
All right, you went for local, I guess.
Yeah. Well, John Paul Young's Aussie as well.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
But like, do you know what was funny about this? That's, oh my God. Yeah. So did you do the thing where like, sorry, me and Tom are just going to vibe about science right now.
I was just about to say I was not privileged enough as a kid to go to science.
Oh, God, shut the fuck up.
So did you get the VHS right? And it has a bunch of you doing like a bunch of other things where like you're in a room where the walls are closing.
And you're rock climbing like a mountain.
And there's like that weird like desert monster that goes to eat you. And oh, right,
and there's like a fire bridge. You're crossing a fire bridge. Yes, dude. We have the same childhood
right
here.
All right, guys.
We should get a bed. That would be amazing.
All right, guys. Get a bedroom. Stop it. All right. That's it. Cut this down.
The reason why. The reason why our performance is burnt into my head is because it was me and my cousin, same age, sorry, and my two brothers. And my brothers have like fake guitars and they only had one microphone.
Yeah.
So for me and my cousin to sing into. And halfway through the performance, I ripped the microphone away from my cousin, right?
And went solo.
So, but imagine like all these trippy like 90s green screen effects and like, you know, basically like the Michael Jackson, like Jackson 5 film clip, right?
Yeah.
And then, so when I snatch the microphone off my cousin, he starts crying. Yeah. And my auntie comes in with all these trippy effects happening, picks him up and takes him off screen.
And they're like, we only got one take of this guy, so we're just going to live with it.
And it's like, why wouldn't they stop and reshoot it? No. Instead, like, it's just, it's, anyway.
Do you still have the video?
Yeah.
I've got the video somewhere.
Please find this video and post it to me.
Maybe this could be like some great video content we do, me and Tom react to our Science Works videos.
Yeah, and I just watch and cry in the corner.
So wait, so I have to sing, I have to bring her flowers.
You're basically serenading a stranger's mum.
You don't even bring her flowers. You take flowers from their own garden.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
It's easy.
That sounds like a 3.5 minute job.
Full song, yeah.
$50.
Yeah? $50?
$50, I'd say.
$20.
20?
Wow, okay.
He's
not experienced. I'm experienced.
That's true. I'm not high quality. I don't have a singing voice. As you can hear, I'm not a singer, guys.
So you're being hard on yourself.
I'm being hard on myself.
Whereas Tom could send like in his demo VHS. Yeah. I've sung this song before.
Yeah, exactly. Tom's got a showreel. Yeah. He's the more pricier one. He wants to go for the low budget one.
Rightfully so.
My problem with that song is I only know the chorus. Oh, okay. So it would just be 3.5 minutes of me saying Love is in the Air, but... anyway,
that's all they want.
Every time I look around.
Oh, there you go. So to sing it, it was $25 the person. Oh,
damn it.
Tom, you charge too much.
I'm an expensive.
You're an expensive taste. Yeah. Maybe I'm like in the bargain bin.
That's what Airtasker is. I think I should remember that.
I think what's happening with Tom is as well is that like.
He's got a big head.
He's been out of the work game for so long. He's had a consistent job for a very long time.
True.
It's like Bill Gates when they asked him.
How much a banana costs?
How much a banana? He's like, I don't know, like $50 or something. It's like, because he's been so rich for so long, he's just out of touch.
Yeah, right. You know? It's a banana, Michael. How much could it possibly cost?
All right. And they left a review as well. Thank you for the most amazing, fun-loving task. P.S. Your mum is hot. 5 stars.
He ends up singing Stacey's mum instead.
Yeah.
He ends up banging the mum.
No, where's my $25?
Actually, your mom paid me.
I'm your stepdad now.
Yeah, turns out I'm your stepdad.
Yeah, right.
Call me more than love in the air.
I'll call you son.
Yeah, she didn't understand why I was singing Love is in the Air. So we did
it. Your mom's ass was in the air, bro. Oh, God. Beep that out, Tom. Beep that out.
Go on.
We'll have two versions of the podcast, the beep version and the uncensored version.
There's got to be an uncensored version.
If you pay $10, we'll release the
what Damien actually said.
Pies in the face is the job listing. I want someone to dress up in their nicest clothes and let me throw up to 10 to 15 pies in their face. This will all be filmed. No, you cannot know why and you cannot know the flavors of the pies. Suits those who do not mind getting a little messy and perhaps those who have always wanted to get a pie in the face but were too afraid to ask. Please let me know if you have any allergies.
Oh, that's nice, at least. Anaphylaxis sets
up. This guy, $1,500. Whoa! I'm not getting no pie in my nice clothes. Yeah. Get fucked.
$100 per pie.
Yeah,
You know what this sounds like? This sounds like when people would like pay bums to do stuff and like make them fight. It sounds a bit cruel.
It sounds cruel. It sounds like
I'm going to be your fucking, your clown.
Yeah.
I'm not nobody's clown, all right? Especially not you.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I feel like the pie in the face would hurt.
I just did a job listening. Marcus is pointing at me and telling me to go F myself. Yeah.
Marcus is going
to
get a pie for Damien's face now.
Yeah. No, but that's how I would feel about it. Like, I'd look at this ad and go, fuck you, man.
A pie in the face would hurt as well.
I wouldn't even apply it.
It's got like a pecan pie, like a hard crust.
It's still in the pan as well. It's not even one of those collapsible ones.
It's just concussed.
There's also the meat pie, the hot pie in your face.
It's a meat pie.
Yeah, right. What the fuck?
Oh, there's a chunky mushroom. Oh,
Goodness has to pick you up. It's like, I don't know what happened. I blacked out after the first pie. Yeah, right. Just knocked me out.
Scalded from a meat pie. Yeah. It felt cold on the outside, but it was, lava inside.
It's like those frozen 420s.
Yeah, right. It's like a brick, basically.
What's the weirder request if they ask you to come and dress up and eat 15 pies in front of them or take 15 pies to the face?
Pies to the face.
Yeah,
I think so.
I'd eat 15 pies.
You'd eat the pies?
My price will go much lower if it was just eating the pies.
Because you're getting a free feed.
I get a free feed. Yeah, and I get pie.
I get the pie. Yeah. I'd probably say...
I get the pie.
I'd say $500.
$500?
I think the answer will be like 100, but I'd do it for 500.
I'm willing to lose this question solely just to say...
It's not a competition.
It covers my dry cleaning costs too.
Yeah.
And let's say I slap $500 on the table and say, I'll drive you there right now. You would do it?
I'd do it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think the footage is for?
Just sexual pleasure.
Yeah, sexual pleasure.
It's gotta be. Anytime you can't answer, no questions asked, it's like, it's gotta be sexual.
He makes a after watching it.
Do I need to bleep
maybe
that too?
That's like that. Maybe that's the pie he's talking about.
Right.
The prison.
You're the pie.
All right. So somebody did that for $60.
Somebody's a fucking idiot.
They must have nice clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$60 would not cover my cleaning costs.
It is. The nice clothes aspect makes it a little bit weirder.
Yeah, I think so.
So they really want you to get dolled up.
Yeah, right. It's humiliating.
All right. We've got two more here.
Yep.
Did they give a review?
No review for that one. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Needed. Backyard cricket pool fielder for 1 hour.
Nice.
Each backyard has its own unique set of challenges that cricketers need to contend with, especially when it's deemed out when you hit it in the swimming pool on the full.
Yep.
And so we're seeking a fielder to plonk themselves in our pool rather than the batsman be given out whenever the ball lands in there.
Huh.
Note, must be a competent swimmer. Due to OHS, we can't accept applicants who require floaties or a life jacket.
What?
Bonus $2.50 per catch.
It's a pool, not a wave pool. Is there a swell in your pool or a shark?
Whoa.
We used to play a lot of backyard cricket at Marcus's place.
Yep. No pool there, though.
No pool. Once the pool game, we had to stop. It sounds like we should have kept going, Marcus.
Yeah, it sounds like it would have been the right thing to do.
But we had the rules of six and out was over the fence, which happened to be my house. So yeah, right.
If you break Tom's window, that's 100 runs, guys.
We used to do the tennis
ball. Tom's mum.
She's hanging the washing out. We used to do the tennis ball with the duct tape on half of it. So that thing could still go through a window. We didn't proper cricket balls, but that still had a bit of force in it.
Yeah.
So what would you guys like to basically
sit in the pool?
Sit in the pool and
how
catch
long,
cricket
an
balls an hour.
I do it for $50.
50?
Yeah.
I think someone will do it lower, but 50.
Look, I'll go 75.
Okay.
Because I would also go 50. But fuck it. It's competition.
Marcus is like, pools aren't special to me. I have a pool.
Do you not think there is something? I think about myself doing it, I think it's I think I would kind of bum myself out, being like a grown man standing in a pool, or probably a bunch of young kids play cricket, all of their backs to me, and I'm basically just
hello,
like a human net, catching probably freezing your ass off because
it'd be cold.
Cricket's one of the sports where people can wear jumpers and you won't get hot.
Yeah,
you can just do laps.
We have to assume it's not a warm day because if it was a warm day, they'd be in the pool.
Yeah, true.
That's a very good point.
It's probably not a warm
day. You're going to get hypothermia or something like that.
And they're no flotation devices. Probably not even let you wear a rashie or something to keep warm.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm going to drop my price to 40.
40.
75. Yep. Stick it in
bottom. Someone did it for $25.
Damn, fucking cheap.
Oh, yeah.
That's cheap.
That's
people in Itasca are so cheap.
That's like you said, that was that minimum wage, $25.
$25.
Yeah, there you go. Mm.
It's better than sitting in front of a hot grill, working in a fast food restaurant.
True.
Now, here's the last one.
Yeah.
And I actually gave you guys a little bit of, I need you guys to do some prep work for this one.
Yeah, that's true.
But you don't know the full context, so I'll give it to you now.
Okay.
Write a poem for me. Hi, I went and done the dirty on me wife and feel like a bloody idiot. Can someone write me a poem so I can send her a note with some flowers?
Right.
So, the person who posted this job actually shared the poem that the person wrote for them.
Very nice.
But before I share that with you guys, I asked you to write a very short poem if you were to take this job up.
Yep.
So, I want to hear your poems. But before I hear your poems, how much are you charging for these artworks? Actually, you know what? Save the price for after the poems.
Save the price after the poems?
Yes.
Okay, so who goes?
I want to put a price tag on it.
Yeah, you can put a price tag on it. So and you can compare. Who's going first here? I'm going first.
I mean, you've been a poet this whole episode, Tom.
You've been very poetic.
You better get ready for this one. Okay, so this is the poem I wrote.
Yeah. This is to win someone's love back after you've wronged them.
Damien's about four lines. Yeah. So I went with four lines. Okay. Here's my poem. I made a mistake. That much is true. It does not change how I feel about you. I hope you can forgive me for my transgressions. Like Usher before me, these are my confessions.
Wow.
That's great and much longer than mine.
Is it fair if I say a piece of art is priceless?
Yeah.
Because a single tear just rolled down
true.
My eye.
It's true. Well, look, yeah, it's better than mine. Mine's just a few words, but it will say, well,
sorry.
I said I'm sorry, Mama. No, not that solid. All right. Take your time. Don't worry. I'll wait forever if that's what it'll take for me. If that's what it'll take for you to forgive me.
Oh, okay. That's like an inside of a greeting card. Did that even rhyme? Not that poetry needs to rhyme.
Hey, have you heard of haikus? That wasn't it, but...
I was counting the syllables. I'm like, was it?
Let's move on from that one.
Damien's like, I'll save this one last because it'll probably be the biggest, best one.
That is priceless for a whole different reason. Because I wouldn't want to pay any money for it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a piece of poo. You don't pay money for that.
So here is the actual poem, let's hear it. And then I'll let you know what the poster said about it.
Sure.
Roses are red, my balls were blue. I shagged some Sheila but was thinking of you.
Oh, boy.
And then the poster wrote, the poem was not what I was after, but it made me laugh, so I paid for it. One star.
What did he pay for it, did he say?
Well, it was $5. So,
that sounds about right.
Biggest commitment.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, that's about right.
Would you guys probably charge about that as much as well?
I give mine for free.
Yeah, I just did it for free. So this guy could like take it and use it if he wants.
Yeah.
All right, well, that is all the jobs. Job completed.
Nice.
Thank you guys for accompanying me into this delve of weird and wonderful jobs of Airtasker.
Thank you. All right, I think that's all the time we have for the show, guys. But great questions brought to the table as always, and a great Airtasker segment too. If anyone out there wants to get in touch with us, you can email us at tqhpodcast@gmail.com. If you just want to say hi, or if you've got a question of your own, feel free to do so there. But as I said, that's all the time we have. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. Thank you, of course, to Marcus.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you to Damien.
Thanks, guys.
And as we end every episode,
stay curious.
Again for listening. If you want to get in touch with us and ask us a question of your own, you can email us at tqhpodcast@gmail.com.
That email again, Tom,
is tqhpodcast@gmail.com. We're also on what, Marcus?
We're on Twitter. We're also on Facebook
at tqhpodcast. You can find us there. And we are also on, Damien,
wherever you can get a podcast. That is where the TQH podcast is. Spotify, iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, you name it, we are on there.
And if you head over to iTunes, rate, subscribe and leave a review, that would be fantastic. 5 stars if you think we deserve it. Thanks for listening. Thank you.